I'd like us just to look briefly here in 1 Corinthians. And it's pretty neat. The first words that came out of Brother Kelly's mouth this morning were the punchline to this sermon. And so he had no idea what we were talking about, but it's neat how the Lord works. So let's just briefly look over 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we've discussed 1 through 4, and we're going to be discussing 5 through 9 this morning. Beginning in verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? And we discussed a couple weeks ago how God's great plan and His will and His desire for each one of our lives is maturity. And we talked about, for instance, in day labor. What if you had the opportunity to hire a little boy? If you were to do that, it would be pointless. Little kids are not able to do work. They're useless. They're not able to help, to fix problems. They're not able to think in the ways that adults think. And when we think about war, children are not able to fight battles. And the Lord is looking for maturity. He's got many things that He wants to tell us. There are so many things that are infinite, all-powerful, mighty God wants to do in East Dallas, but He needs maturity. He needs people who can hear and comprehend and understand the things of God. And we discussed how this comes through craving pure spiritual milk, trying to study night and day, think on the Word of God until it becomes beautiful to us, until we delight in it. And then the promise is that God is going to work through our lives and that we're going to be just like that tree in Psalm chapter 1. We're going to start like a tiny little tree, and because we're taking in that water of His Spirit, and we're taking in the sunlight, we're taking in the Word of God, we're going to grow, and we're going to be strong, and we're going to produce fruit in whatever we do. And so our greatest need, your greatest need, Christian, your greatest need, father, mother, is to become mature, to become Christ-like, and to become useful to our Heavenly Father. And as we continue this morning, take a look at 5 through 9. And so Paul puts forth a question. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And so if I could draw your attention to this question, which Paul puts forward here at the beginning. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? And so the question put forward is, what are we to think of church leaders? What are we to think of Christians? What is their responsibility? What is their standing? And if we were to broaden that just a little bit, what do we think of man? What is man? What is a Christian? James puts forward a similar question in the 4th chapter of James. He says, what is your life? In James chapter 4, and the Bible answers that. He says that we are a mist. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And this is the way God views our life. He sees us as being here for just a split second, and then leaving the very next minute. If you can imagine smoke, trying to grab hold of it, trying to seize it, trying to capture it, it's impossible. And that's the way the Lord views our life, and we are called to have this same understanding, and we are called to reflect on these deep and serious life questions as to what is your life? And this knowledge is so very powerful. If we can understand that we're here today, that we're just like the grass, that we're just like a tent that's here 1 minute, and then we're rolled up in the night and quickly gone, it should cause us to live differently. It should cause us to live differently in light of this present crisis, which First Peter presents to us, that the world is passing away. It's going to be burned up. So what kind of people ought we to be? So in the same way as we reflect on this question, what is Apollos? What is Paul? What is man? The answer is powerful, and it helps us in order to be better Christians and servants of God. And so let's briefly look at the answer here to this question. In the middle of verse 5, he answers the question. He says, "We are servants through whom you believed, as a Lord assigned to each." And so Paul is clear in his language. He is deflecting all glory and honor, and he's pointing to God. He's saying, "We're just servants. We're just slaves. There's no glory that is to be ascribed to us because of anything that we've done." And that's the very thing which Brother Kelly said at the beginning of his message to us in his report to the church, that the many wonderful things that happen at this church, we have no power to do these apart from the finger, apart from the power of the living God. And so when we behold these things, when we see God working in power in this neighborhood, we need to be so very careful not to lay our hands upon that ark, not to take or ascribe God's honor to ourselves. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit more. And so Paul answers the question with more detail. In verse 6, he says, "I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." And there's the key verse. Paul, he planted just like a servant. He did his job. He did what was commanded. He did what he was entrusted to do. Apollos came after him and planted and built on that foundation of the Lord. But the emphasis, the weight of the text is all upon God. He is the one that gives the increase. He is the one that gives the growth. And so this is what our text is focused on this morning. And this is what God wants us to consider as we look at this scripture. And so as we continue in verse 8, we read, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's field, God's workers. You are God's field, God's building." And so this is one of the greatest challenges of our day. As Brother Kelly mentioned, he's got a few gripes with the American church. He's got a few gripes with the way rich and powerful churches trust in the arm of the flesh. If you remember that great battle against the Midianites, when God chooses a servant, the weakest of the weak, Gideon, and then he narrows it down to 300 soldiers, and the Midianites are described as being as numerous as the sand of the sea. As we reflect upon this, God makes it very clear that he was not willing to work whatsoever if he was not to work in a way that would make it abundantly clear that he himself gained salvation for Israel. And this is the way God works. And I believe passionately with all my heart that one of the reasons why God withholds his blessing, one of the reasons why God does not work in churches as much as he could, is because we would rob him of his honor, and we would take credit for the very things which God has done among us. And so we have the opportunity to trust in the arm of the flesh, or we can trust in the living God. And so I'd like to turn to Psalm 61, and I'd like to look at what David says here. Psalm 60, starting in verse 11. And so this is outlined here in this psalm. Beginning in verse 11, David cries out, he says, "O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man." And let that just settle in. Let that soak into our hearts. Vain is the salvation of man. And we need to understand that, and we need to let that become a reality in our lives. And this psalm expresses the desperation of mankind. Continuing in verse 12, "Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go forth, O God, with our enemies." And so David is experiencing a time when God has stepped back. He has left the armies of Israel to themselves. And it's pretty clear when God steps back. There's no victory, there's no power, there's no joy, there's no blessing. His presence has departed. It's pretty clear, and David is experiencing this. And in this time of crisis, in the midst of defeat, David has some options. He can run to man for salvation and deliverance, or he can call upon the name of the living God. And we are faced with these two options, and we need to consider these things. So look at David's response. As we stated, David's cry was that the Lord no longer goes out with our armies. And he is presented with two options, and he responds in the following way. "Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of men. With God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down the foes." And so we too are presented with these two forks in the road. Brother Kelly mentioned that many churches have departed, and they have gone down this road, and they're trusting in gorgeous, beautiful buildings and entertainment and things like that in order to advance the kingdom of God. But we, the people of God, need to trust in the living God in order to supply the increase, and understand that apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. And we're tempted, just like Israel. Something pretty amazing to reflect upon is that the Old Testament was written for us. These stories about Gideon, these stories in the Psalms that we read, these were written for our benefit, and they relate to us. And so we need to understand these things and look to Israel, who was tempted so many times from all different directions to trust in Egypt, to trust in other things, to trust in things that were not God at all. And the Lord relates many times words like, "Is it because there's no God in Israel that you have turned to inquire from the God Beelzebub, the God of Ekron?" And the same thing is true today. Many look for salvation in other places. And as we've stated many times before, the church is not in need of beautiful buildings, of entertainment, of money. We're not in need of help from men, but we need this God of the increase. We need this God to supernaturally bless and to provide a harvest. And He is the one that we must turn to in the midst of this battle. And in the words of Moses, as he relates in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, these beautiful words. He says, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." And so that is, I believe, the heart of this congregation. I believe that's the heart of Brother Kelly. And that is so very true. If God's not in it, if we don't have Him, if we don't have His power, His blessing, His presence, Him going before us, working in our lives, it's all rot. It's all worthless, and I don't want anything to do with it. I might as well go back home, and we might as well shut these doors and move on. And so, in this chapter, God's name, His power is magnified. And at the same time, in order for God to increase, we too must decrease, and we must know our place, and we must be humble like Gideon. We must be humble like Paul and know our place. Let me just quote here from Revelation. Here's a nice parallel text. Revelation chapter 11. This is the 24 elders. We have this amazing scene of worship in the presence of God and in heaven. The 24 elders, they surround the throne and they give these words. They say, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And notice here, there's no footnote about, and oh, by the way, Paul did a really good job over in Corinth. There's no mention here. All glory, all majesty, all praise is given to God alone. And this is the mindset that we've got to have. We've got to look to Scripture, and we've got to see that it's all about God. As we look at the Holy Scripture, it's not a man-centered book. It's God-centered. It's about an awesome God who has done wonderful things and is doing wonderful things and has promised to continue to do supernatural, wonderful, powerful things in the world today. And so let us look briefly here at some concluding thoughts. And so as we reflect upon the power of God this morning, that we're called to plant, we're called to water, we're called to simply show up and trust God and obey. And if we do those things, God has promised in His Word, He is so very faithful, so powerful, He is going to supply the increase. The idea is that God is going to act supernaturally and display His power, and He is going to change people's lives. In my ministry here, there's been people that I've just had to give up on. I've seen the utter hopelessness. I've seen that people are too far caught in their sin. They're blind. They can't see. There's utterly no hope. And I've had to give those people to God and say, "I can't do anything with these people, but God, I need you to work. I need you to change their hearts, soften their hearts. I need you to work through them." And He's done it. He has done it through many people at this church, and it is an amazing thing to witness and to view and to rejoice. And Paul is just so full of joy, and we experience that same joy the more we walk with God and experience His power. And so in view of what we've studied this morning, this should lead us to have a sense of boldness. We're just servants. We're weak. We don't have the ability to do anything apart from God supplying the increase, apart from Him working. But we know that if we trust Him and obey Him and do His work, that He is going to come forward. And so consider Paul once more. He knew his weakness. He knew the depravity and the wickedness of Corinth. But yet, he knew his God, and he knew his power, and that gave him the audacity and the boldness to march right into Corinth and to preach the Word of God and start planting and start watering. And that's the very thing that the Lord is calling us to do, to continue doing these things and to not give up, but to continue to trust Him. As we reflect on the promises of God, John 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and show and so prove to be my disciples. This is the will of God. It's stated in Scripture that He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be successful. This is His church. He is the head. He is all powerful, and He is going to make sure that there is glory in the church in all generations, and He is going to make sure that the church is successful. We simply have to trust and obey. And then reflect on this scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And I think this is a wonderful summary as we give this report this morning, as we read the following here. "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so this is the message which the Lord gave Paul in Acts chapter 18 when He appeared to him in a vision. He told him, don't give up. Keep on speaking. Keep on preaching the gospel. And this is what we need to hear this morning. We need to stay with the program. We need to keep loving and serving the poor. We need to keep preaching the gospel. We need to keep trusting God. And we need to start expecting God. He's done miraculous things. You've heard about a little bit of what God has done this morning. I believe that God is just getting started. He saved the best to last. He is the great author of history, and He is on His throne, and He wants to do things which can't be comprehended in our mind, in this community, in this church. He wants us to grow and progress and use us in most wonderful and powerful ways. And so it's a wonderful time to be with the Lord. It's a wonderful time to be with our family. It's a wonderful time to reflect on all the many things which God is doing. And we're so grateful and thankful that you're here. If there's anyone here this morning that is not a Christian and wants to put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ is a mighty God, and He is mighty to save, and He died for our sins in order that we might not have to go to hell. And if you trust Him, if you believe Him, if you want to have your sins washed away in baptism to receive the Holy Spirit, that invitation is always open at the Main Street Church of Christ. If there's any other prayers that you need, any other request, we want to invite you to come forward as we close this morning's service and we end with our invitation song.